Good morning. It's good to be with you on this Good Friday. Maybe no more misappropriately named day in all of church history, huh? Good Friday. Today, I want to read to you. I have several resources we're going to unpack in a second. But I want to read to you about the last few moments of Jesus' life. If you really want to read it, you can read, honestly, starting in John chapter 18, pretty much all of John 18 through John 19 deal with the last moments of Jesus, or the Good Friday account. I'm going to read John 19, verses 30 through 42. John 19, 30 through 42. When Jesus had received the wine, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Since it was the day of preparation, the Jews did not want the bodies to be left on the cross during the Sabbath, especially because the Sabbath was a great day of solemnity. So they asked Pilate to have the legs of the crucified men broken and the bodies removed. The soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. When they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once blood and water came out. He who saw this has testified so that you may also believe. His testimony is true, and he knows that he tells the truth. These things occurred so that the scripture might be fulfilled: none of his bones shall be broken. And again, another passage of scripture says, "They will look upon the one whom they have pierced." After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, though secret because of his fear of the Jews, asked Pilate to let him take away the body of Jesus. Pilate gave him permission, so he came and removed his body. Nicodemus, who had first come to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, weighing about 100 pounds. They took the body of Jesus and wrapped it with spices and linen cloth, according to the burial custom of the Jews. Now there was a garden in the place where he was crucified. In the garden there was a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. And because it was the Jewish day of preparation, the tomb was nearby. They laid Jesus there. Okay. So there's a lot there to unpack. We could have gone through all of the suffering on Good Friday, but I thought it was important to read the end of that. There's so much here. It is finished. The work of redemption is finished in verse 30. I wanted to highlight to you a book that I'm reading right now. It's on my Kindle, so you may not be able to really see it. It's by a pastor by the name of Brian Zahn. It's entitled The Wood Between Worlds, and it's just a wonderful book on the cross. It's a book that deals with what happened on the cross and different understandings and different traditions within the Christian church, and it's one of the best books I've ever read in my entire life, and I really cannot recommend The Wood Between Worlds to you more strongly than I can. It's taught me a lot about the cross and helped me understand things that always I knew on some level, but helped it make more sense. One of the things that Zahn talks about in this book is he reads the Bible spiritually, tries to pick up on the spiritual themes happening there. And so something he said, what he talks about, and he draws from a lot of medieval art. He loves talking about the ancient paintings of the church and what they teach us. And verse 34 said, "One of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once blood and water came out." That's always been an interesting image to me, that they pierced his side and blood and water came out. And Zahn talks about a certain image of the cross where they pierce a certain painting, rather, of the cross, where they pierce, this shows the piercing of his side and the blood and water coming out. And around it, you see in this image, you see angels there, and they're catching the blood with chalices to represent communion, and they're catching the water with fonts to represent baptism. And I think that's such a beautiful and powerful image that these sacraments, these means of grace that the Lord gives us, they find their rootedness in the redemptive act of love that Christ did for us on the cross. I wanted to read to you a prayer that I pray quite often. It's from the Book of Common Prayer. And it's one of the prayers That's part of the morning office. And when I first started reading, praying this office, I didn't really, I don't know, this prayer wasn't one that really, I don't know, it just didn't resonate with me. The longer I've prayed this and the longer I've read it, the more I've come to love this prayer. It says, Lord Jesus, you stretched out your arms of love on the hard wood of the cross that everyone might come within the reach of your saving embrace. So clothe us with your spirit that we, reaching forth our hands in love, may bring those who do not know you to the knowledge and love of you for the honor of your name. Amen. You stretched out your arms of love on the hard wood of the cross that everyone might come within the reach of your saving embrace. We look upon the grotesqueness of the cross. I think particularly those of us who are Protestant, I think it's important for us today to think about the crucifix, because y'all, we're in such a hurry to get to Easter. We're in such a hurry to get to forgiveness that we don't see the ugliness of sin. We don't see what sin did to Jesus, what sin, the Bible says upon him was placed the iniquities of us all. We don't see how sin manifests itself in death, how sin manifests itself in grotesqueness, how sin manifests itself in evil. It does. It just, you see it. And there in the grotesque image of our beautiful Savior enduring all these things out of love. He suffered the full weight and the full penalty for sin, for individually, for my sin and for your sin. But more than just individually, he suffered it for the collective weight of creation. Because when we read Genesis 3, we see that man was cursed and woman was cursed, but creation was cursed too because of sin. And that sin is, in Star Wars, it talks about the dark side of the Force, how it corrupts and destroys everything that it inhabits. And that's sin. That is sin. It destroys and corrupts everything that it inhabits. And it was placed upon Jesus Christ, and he endured it. He suffered it. He was swallowed up by it. But by being swallowed up by death, death did not overcome him, but death was destroyed by him. He destroyed death on Easter. He destroyed death on the resurrection. That the power of death is forever defeated, forever destroyed. And we don't have to suffer it anymore because it was all placed upon his shoulders. It's all placed upon his shoulders in the wretchedness of death. And the wretchedness of sin could not overcome the beauty of Christ and the beauty of salvation, the beauty of God's love. So I want us all on this Good Friday to think about our sin, to think about sin individually. Where are the areas in my life where I am far from my Lord? Not just the hidden area, the areas that I'm not aware of that I need the Spirit to discern me, but where are the areas in my life where I know that I'm far from God, the areas that I know that I'm far from God. And I want to lay them at the foot of the cross. Where are the areas in my life that I participate in evil? Not just the areas where I do wrong, but what are the bigger things that I'm not doing to work to allow all to flourish? Where am I not living out thy kingdom be done upon earth as it is in heaven? And where do we see the effect of sin upon, not just us as individuals, but upon our families and our communities and our world and our earth? Where do we see these things? So he died to save me and you, but more than that, he died to forever destroy death and forever destroy sin. So let's think about where are the areas in our life that we need to submit to his lordship. But then let's also think about the length that he would go to redeem us. Let's think about the length that he would go to so that we would know that we are loved. Let's think about the length that our Lord endured for our sake, so that we could know just how much we are loved. You stretched out your arms of love on the hard wood of the cross that all may come within reach of your saving embrace. So clothe us, reaching forth our hand to love so that we may bring those who don't know you into the knowledge and love of you. He reached out his arms of love to redeem us. Friends, today on this Good Friday, may we remember the darkness of sin. But may we remember the love of the one who endured it for us. And may we reach forth our arms of love to all who need to know they're loved. I pray a blessed Good Friday to you. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Have a great Easter weekend, and we'll see you Monday as we resume our time of the prophets. Sunday's coming. See you.